first started this series of lessons, just highlighting the letter in the book of Hebrews. And, this is one of the first ones, Hebrews chapter 1, going all the way through chapter 2, verse 10. And we read that already together. So if you wanted to, it might be helpful if you had your Bibles open, or even while we go through this outline, you can see each point as it's made, and you read the verse before or after, or see where we're going with this. So we already talked about point number one. God has spoken to us by His Son, but then angels have played a part in the delivery of that message and in delivering God's message. But angels never did make a public proclamation, like stand before a group and deliver a lesson. But angels were involved in God's message to His prophets and patriarchs, and even in the New Testament. So then that brings us to the second phrase, in verses 2 and 3. There are seven facts about Jesus that point to Him being better. So these are descriptions or qualifications of Jesus. What is it about Jesus that makes Him better than the angels? Well, number one, I'd say that these are verses 2 and 3, just two verses. Verse 1, verse 2, He's appointed heir of all things. So that's God's Son. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So there's a relationship there that makes Jesus better than angels. He's been appointed heir of all things. Matthew 3:16, a voice from heaven saying at Jesus' baptism, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." In Matthew 17, when they're on the mountain where Jesus is transfigured, Moses and Elijah make an appearance, but they disappear. Jesus stands alone, and those words are echoed again. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," with the added phrase, "Hear ye Him." So Jesus is the one that's been appointed heir of all things, not the angels, or not an angel. So then, second, by whom also He made the worlds. I'll give you a couple verses that illustrate that same fact. Jesus was involved in creation. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him," meaning Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So here we have a second thing. Jesus, what makes you better than the angels? Oh, you were involved in creation. That's right. John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made." God, so the Son. I guess you see that superiority, or that makes Him. Hebrews 11, verse 3, "Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Well, in the beginning with the Word was with God, the Word was God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, just put that one in your notes. "But the Word was made flesh, manifested to us, the Son." So Jesus, who are you, and what about you that's significant or important? God appointed you to be heir of all things. And it's interesting that you were also involved in the creation of the earth, or the heavens. Number three in your notes, "who being the brightness of His glory." An interesting phrase. So the word glory, those are by definition, or at least one definition that I saw, the things of God that make God attractive to mankind. God, what's your glory? What makes you so attractive? Well, because the things of God makes God attractive. That's His glory. There's a drawing power. Why should we be drawn to God? Oh, because the things that God made, that God created, giving of His Son, all of these qualities, characteristic works of God establish His glory. And so He said that Jesus is the brightness of His glory. Interesting, like I said, in John 1, verse 14, "The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory." What's so glorious about Jesus? Oh, He went about doing good, mighty works, died for our sins, accepted sacrifice, ascended to the right hand of the Father. So many things about God and about Jesus that are attractive that makes Him glorious. So that's what he means by that. And Jesus reflects all that's good about God. The fourth idea is the express image of his person. So Jesus is the exact representation, I put in the notes, the flawless expression of God's nature. He's a copy of God's being, almost like a rubber stamp of the Father. Jesus said at one time, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, you beheld my goodness, my glory, the things that make me attractive. Glorious Savior, glorious God. The express image, there's a phrase in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Without controversy, without a doubt, he's saying, all we got to say to Timothy, without a doubt, Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received the glory. Jesus, so attractive. Why is he better than angels? So you see the list going on, just in these one statement after the other, just piles it on. Seven facts just in two verses. Verses 2 and 3. Number 5 in your notes, upholds all things by the word of his power. And back to Colossians 1, verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he sustains the universe. His physical nature, you know, what we see, creation. Number 6, and had by himself purged our sins. So it takes us from Jesus' incarnation in verse 2, that this is my beloved Son, to the cosmic work where he said in verse 3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now he points us to his redemption work. He died for our sins. So you see this, he just piling up the evidence. What makes Jesus so attractive? Why should we be drawn to him? And what makes him better than the angels? So he purged, purification, cleansing. And that's that work of Jesus is detailed in Hebrews chapter 9. We'll see that as we go through these words that are that make things better, the better things of God. But Hebrews 9:27, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So he has in point number 6 in your notes, he himself purged our sins, bloody sacrifice that he made. So we'll look at that in more detail as we go along. Number 7, the last one. And so now he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Majesty. Jude verse 25 says, to the only wise God our glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. We even sing that song. Dennis Burgett likes to sing it as an opening song every Sunday morning. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So we talk, the Hebrew writer brings us back. Focus on God. His majesty. His glory, his majesty. On high, he's above all the created heavens. Ephesians 4, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. He's above. Majesty on high, right hand of God. So there's now we get a visual picture. Jesus, what's your position now? Look up. On the right hand, position of high honor, position of authority. Then the next major section begins at verse 4. So I put in your notes. After being made, there's the phrase being made so much better than angels. By definition, that word made, some people might stumble over that. They might say, oh, Jesus was a created being. You know, he was made. No, it means he was appointed, designated. Someone said, I made you president. He didn't create them. At the word made, sometimes we might stumble over a word without understanding its definition, especially in the context. God appointed his son. He designated his son, made his son better than the angels, put him in a position, made him position-wise better than the angels. So in chapters 1 and 2, we see Jesus defined in ways that distinguish him from the angels. And so now in the next 10 verses, there are 7 Old Testament passages that show Jesus is superior to the angels. it for you. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I've begotten you? Never said that to angels. Prophecy, too, in Psalm chapter 2, verse 5. So we're not the argument again. The position of Jesus in creation and in redemption. Now we're going to see him in prophecy. Seven facts. God never said to an angel, you're my son. The second one, in verse 5, and again, I'll be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 4, the reference is to David. But it was an eternal covenant looking forward to the Messiah. Jesus said it this way in John 7, verse 42. Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the seed of David? And out of Bethlehem, where David was? So you see, the prophecy concerning the Christ. That phrase is never used, angel. Now, they never said, angel, you're my son. But he did it to Jesus. You're my son. The baptism, this is my beloved son. Number 3, in verse 6, again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Oh, superiority. We worship that which is greater. We bow down to that which is finer. So the angels give worship to Jesus, not vice versa. We don't worship angels. The firstborn has the preeminence. I have another comment I could list, but maybe for another different study, maybe in a Bible class. But I'll just list these for you in text, kind of separate them out so you can see it when you read. Number 4 is in verse 7. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits as the wind, and his ministers, servants or messengers by definition, a flame of fire. And that's in Psalm 104, verse 4. Angels were not the creatures of the world. They're spirits, and they minister. In verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So there's an abundance of contrast between the Son and the angels. And Jesus has a position of being better than the angels. Angels are good. Necessary. Involved in delivering the message of God. And ministering spirits, helping us. You know. He's building up this presentation, or proof. So number 5, verses 8 and 9. But unto the Son, he says, all right, not to the angels, thy throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, meaning the angels. So it's in Psalm 45, verse 6. So the phrases, or each phrase in verses 8 and 9, indicate the superior rank or the exaltation of Jesus. The Son is called God by the Father himself in these verses. His reign is eternal. That word is also in the verse. His administration, one of absolute justice and righteousness. God himself has anointed him above all the others. And the words of Christ the Messiah mean anointed one. So God's anointed him, not an angel. Anointed him. So you see the progression of the proof. Let me tell you why Jesus is better than the angels. And why angels are not to be worshipped. We give our worship to Jesus or the Godhead, not to the angels. Number 6, verses 10 through 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning you've laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hands. So almost a repetition. Jesus was being involved in creation. So now he says, let me show you from the Old Testament too. The heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remains. So what we see, you know, earth and the works of the end, they're not going to last. But Jesus lasts. He's eternal. You remain. They all shall wax old as a garment, As a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed. And then he says it again. But thou art the same. Your years fail not. And that's a quote from Psalm 102. So again, he's just piling up the evidence, lining up the arguments, so there can't be any objection. He's met every objection. The superiority of Jesus is traced back to creation again. Things of earth grow old, as we know. They change, they perish, but not Jesus. Then the last one, verse 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. This shows that Jesus has already been exalted above the world. He's at the Father's right hand, and he carries a position of authority. In Hebrews 2, verse 5, we'll go back. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereon we speak. Angels, the world. We're not in subjection to the angels. Hear ye him, meaning the Christ. So I know I went through this rather quickly, but I know we have other things to do also. So I just wondered, you have the notes? When you read these first, chapters 1 all the way to verse 10 of chapter 2, you see the outline and the 14 different statements, specific, line after line, 14 lines that show Jesus being superior to the angels. So give him the worship. Give him the praise. And recognize him as the Son of God. So that superiority is supported both in the Old Testament. That's the lesson. All right, Lord willing, next week we'll cover Hebrews chapter 6, I believe is the next one, where it says, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. I want to know what those better things are that God expects of me. So we'll kind of outline what are those better things. Some of it's actually in the verse, but we'll describe that. A better living, Christian living expectation. We expect better things of you. And the next phrase is the premise. It says things that accompany salvation. These are things that accompany our salvation. God's expectations. Next week, Lord willing. Always at the close of it, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, exhortation. You're subject to that if you've not obeyed that good news gospel message already. It's the last words of Jesus. Jesus, what's on your mind before you ascend back to the Father? Well, Matthew, you hear me say this all the time. Matthew 28, verse 20. All authority. He has it all. I can't change it. He didn't delegate authority to me to change anything. All authority given unto me in heaven and on earth. That's all. So he says, go and make disciples of all the nations. How are you going to make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father by heaven's authority. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. And you heard me use the phrase, teaching them, continued education. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Again, position of authority. We have to listen to what the Son of God says. He overpowers any other authority. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news message to every creature, don't leave anybody out. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. That's the message and the invitation, the word of exhortation that we extend. So if you're subject to it, if you're not submitted already, so let's stand and sing that song of encouragement. Word 9, song of 936. Sing a.